The Strait of Hormuz is 21 miles wide at its narrowest point, and roughly 20% of the world's traded oil passes through it. That number explains almost everything about why Iran's decision to condition any transit agreement on prior U.S. concessions is landing with such force in energy markets and foreign ministries simultaneously. The deal structure, as we understand it, is this. Iran reached a transit understanding with Oman, Oman being one of the few Gulf states that maintains functional back-channel diplomacy with Tehran. But Iranian officials have made clear that this arrangement will not take effect until Washington lifts sanctions and honors what Tehran describes as prior commitments.
The phrase, prior commitments, is doing enormous work in that statement, Marcus. Iranian officials are almost certainly referencing the 2015 Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the nuclear deal, and potentially informal understandings reached during various back-channel exchanges over the past several years. The problem is that prior commitments is a contested category. The U.S. would argue its commitments under the JCPOA were superseded when Iran violated enrichment caps. Iran would argue American unilateral withdrawal from that agreement was itself the original breach. So you have two parties who genuinely disagree about which obligation came first, and a 21-mile choke point is the hostage.
From a market standpoint, the calculus is brutal. Brent crude has been trading with a significant risk premium built in since the closure began, and shipping insurance rates for Gulf Transit have climbed sharply. The longer this drags on, the more pressure accumulates on Gulf Cooperation Council states, particularly Saudi Arabia and the UAE, whose export revenues depend on unobstructed passage. The irony is that Iran is also hurting itself. Its own export capacity is constrained by the closure, but Tehran appears to be betting that the pain is asymmetric enough to force Washington's hand.
There is a historical parallel worth drawing here. In 1973, during the Arab oil embargo, the leverage play worked because the United States was genuinely import-dependent on Middle Eastern crude in a way that it simply is not today. American shale production has created a structural buffer. But here is the complicating factor. It is not American consumers who are most exposed to a Hormuz disruption in 2026, it is Asian economies. Japan, South Korea, India, and China collectively account for the vast majority of Gulf oil transit. So Tehran's leverage is less hurt America and more hurt America's rivals and partners simultaneously, which is actually a more sophisticated pressure point than the 1973 playbook.
And Khamenei's written message this week, the supreme leader has not been seen publicly since U.S.-Israeli airstrikes injured him approximately 6 months ago, calling on Gulf rulers to confront what he termed the real enemy, fits exactly into this framework. It is a call for Muslim solidarity that is also a reminder to Gulf states that siding openly with Washington carries domestic political costs within their own populations. The UAE probe of Bank Misr over US dollar access threats connects here too.
The Bank Misr situation is worth explaining because it seems technical, but it is actually quite revealing. Bank Misr is one of Egypt's largest state-owned banks. The UAE ordered an urgent investigation after reports emerged that the bank faced potential threats to its access to US dollar clearing, meaning its ability to process transactions in dollars through the American banking system. Dollar clearing access is the invisible infrastructure of global finance. If a bank loses it, it effectively cannot participate in international trade in any meaningful volume. The UAE's urgency here is not purely about one Egyptian bank. It is about the precedent that dollar access can be weaponized against any institution that does business with U.S. sanctioned entities, which in the current environment means doing business with Iran, Russia, or anyone connected to them.
So you have the physical choke point, Hormuz, and the financial choke point, dollar clearing, operating simultaneously. Both are being used as leverage instruments. The question for policymakers in Washington is whether applying both pressures at once accelerates a resolution or hardens Iranian intransigence to the point where Tehran decides it has nothing left to lose by keeping the strait closed indefinitely.
And the Oman transit deal suggests Iran has not made that final calculation yet. They are still at the table, still structuring conditional offers. That is a meaningful signal, even if the conditions they have attached are ones Washington is almost certainly not going to meet wholesale.